Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.com.
Nehemiah chapter 6, and if you would just remain standing for a few moments as we read the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter 6, we're going to read verses 1 through 9, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to go and get into the Word of God this morning. The Bible says, when word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to the time I had not set the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message: come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. Have you ever had somebody scheming to cause you harm? It goes on to say, so I sent messengers to them with this reply: I am carrying out a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king and have appointed prophets to make the proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now the report will get back to the king, so come, let us meet together. Verse number 8. I sent him this reply: nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head. Verse number 9. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get weak for the work and it will not be completed. And I love the New International Version, because this is what he says. He says, they were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. So I continued the work with great determination. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you would be with me. I ask, Father, you would calm my spirit and allow me, God, to minister the word the way you gave it to me. I pray that you would allow us to grow and to learn how to overcome opposition and fear. Lord, I come against every ounce of fear in the name of Jesus. I bind every ounce of doubt. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would bring peace and that you would allow us, God, to see as you see this morning. Father, we love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Give the person next to you a high five, and you may be seated this morning. Give it up for the worship team. Thank you very much. This morning, we're going to get directly into the Word of God, and I am going to ask you to just bear with me. This message was birthed this morning. I actually was going to preach on Joshua, and I was going to preach on the transition of an era from Moses' era to Joshua's era. But it's been funny because all week I have just felt a heavy opposition coming against my life. And all week I have just felt pressure. Who's ever been there before where you just feel pressure from all sides? Let me ask you this. Who in this place has felt major opposition over the last few weeks? And as I was sitting there this week, man, I just felt hard-pressed on every side. I felt like certain parts of the week I couldn't think straight. There was times I was holding it together and doing my best to keep moving forward, but I just felt this overwhelming sense of opposition coming against my life. And this morning when I woke up, I felt this anxiety. And if you know me, I'm not an anxious person. So this morning, instead of going to my Bible, instead of going to what I normally do and studying and preparing for my message, I got into prayer this morning. And as I started praying, I started coming against opposition. And as I started to pray, the Lord had begun to put a different message upon my heart. And this morning, the message that you're hearing, God helped me put it together this morning. And what I believe God wants to address this morning is a spirit that comes to attack us, and that's the spirit of fear and intimidation. This morning, I want to talk to you about overcoming opposition. And what I want to do is I want to look at the life of Nehemiah. And what I'm going to attempt to do this morning is give you a background of who Nehemiah was, what he accomplished, and how he overcame and stayed focused on Jesus. Amen. How many know that's the battle sometimes? How many know that following through, staying focused is sometimes a battle? And that's what I want to do this morning. So before we dive into our text in Nehemiah chapter 6, I want to give you some background. And I want to give you a quick synopsis of Nehemiah 1 through 5 so that we can understand what's happening in verse number 6. When we study the life of Nehemiah in the Bible, we would find that Nehemiah was a man who served as a cupbearer to King Xerxes. And the Bible tells us in Nehemiah chapter 1 that one day Nehemiah had heard that the walls surrounding his hometown were in ruins. Now the walls of the city, what it represented was the city's strength and its protection. But because the walls were broken in Jerusalem, other nations mocked the Hebrew people, and this was a great disgrace to the nation of Israel. Now, Nehemiah is miles away, and he's serving under a king as a cupbearer. Now, the Bible tells us as Nehemiah heard the condition of his land, it burdened his soul. Have you ever been burdened by some sort of bad news? Right? Have you ever been burdened? You heard of maybe what somebody was going through and it burdened your soul. Well, this is what he was going through. To give you some exact emotions of what he was feeling, the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 4, it says, "When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before God of heaven." So here Nehemiah, he hears that the city, his hometown, is in ruins. The city walls that represented the protection of the people, that represented the people's power, were now broken. So here you have this man, he hears what's going on, and he develops what we would call a God-given burden for that city. Nehemiah has a heart, he goes before God, and he wants to make an impact. He wants to make a difference. He wants to, in his heart, rebuild the walls. However, it wasn't just a task that he can go and rebuild these walls. Nehemiah had three specific obstacles he had to overcome. The first obstacle he had, if he was going to go back to his city, his hometown, and help rebuild the walls, the first obstacle he had to overcome, he had to get approval from the king to be released from his duty. And the Bible tells us that after he prays, God opens a door for him to speak to the king, and the king miraculously releases him to go do the work that God put in his heart. Not only did the king release him to do it, the king funded the project. And let me just throw this out there for a second. If God is calling you to do something and you feel the burden in your heart and you're like, "I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't have the finances to make that happen." I want to tell you that you serve a God that is all powerful and that owns everything in this world. That God can provide you with what you need so that you can be successful. And let me just ask you this as a side note. If you could do anything for God, and if money wasn't an object, what would that be? And I say that because sometimes we have this great heart to want to do things for God, but every now and then, because maybe we don't have the means or we can't see that far ahead, we stop and we don't even try. This was Nehemiah's case, but what Nehemiah did was he had a burden in his soul, And he went before God and he prayed to the Lord and God opened the door. So here he overcomes the first hurdle, the king releasing him to do it. But the second obstacle Nehemiah had, if he was going to go to the city of Jerusalem and rebuild the walls, he had to go to Jerusalem and motivate a discouraged people. See, the people in that city were discouraged, and it wasn't the first time that they were trying to build the wall, because if you look in the book of Ezra, they had tried to build the wall, but they had failed miserably. And the Bible tells us in the book of Ezra that people, city officials, were hired to frustrate their purpose. And whenever you feel opposition coming against your life, what you have to know is that there is an enemy trying to frustrate your purpose. So the second obstacle Nehemiah had, he had to overcome the people's discouragement and he had to somehow motivate them to do the work. Now, remember this, the people were an oppressed people. They had already failed and tried to rebuild the wall once. So this wasn't just another task, but because Nehemiah was anointed for the job, God gave him favor with the people. Watch this. Nehemiah 2:17 and 18 says this, "But now I said to them, you know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. Then I told them about how gracious the hand of God had been on me and about my conversation with the king. They replied at once, yes, let's rebuild the wall. So they began the good work." So here the people see the hand of God on Nehemiah's life. They are inspired, they are motivated, and they begin to do the work. And this is where I want to focus on, because this is where you find the third obstacle that Nehemiah had to overcome. The third obstacle Nehemiah had to overcome, he had to overcome the haters, I mean the opposition. The Bible tells us that when he showed up on the scene in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19, after he rallies the people together, he encourages them, let's rebuild the walls. And once they say yes, listen to what happens. Nehemiah 2:19, "But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite, officials," watch this, "of Geshem the Arab, heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us." See, once the people got the work going, once they committed their hearts to rebuilding the walls, city officials came and they started mocking the people. And I just want to throw this out there, that anytime you declare in your heart that I'm going to do something for God, you almost have to prepare for opposition. And you got to be careful and you got to guard your heart, because sometimes God might give you a vision to do something that other people may not see. And just because other people don't see it, and sometimes people will come to try to discourage you, as they did in Nehemiah's case. These people came. He was trying to do something noble for the city, but they were discouraging them. They were mocking them because it seemed like a great task for men. But what's beautiful about the task that God gave them, what looked to be impossible with men was possible with God. Anything of great value, anything you attempt to do that is great, listen, it's going to require us grabbing a hold of God and trusting the Lord. Anything of great value will cost you something. Great things don't happen by chance. They happen by choice and a whole lot of support from God. Are you hearing me this morning? Stay with me, because I'm going somewhere. Whenever you determine to do something great for God, you will have to condition your heart to stand in the midst of opposition. And this is where I want to park. Because Nehemiah, in the midst of being mocked and ridiculed, he stayed faithful to God's task. So here we have Nehemiah. He rallies the people together. They are successfully building the walls. And once again, remember, in chapter 2, Sanballat and Tobiah, they come and they discourage him. But here they are, five chapters later. The Bible tells us that after Nehemiah had successfully built the wall, Sanballat and Tobiah show up one more time. But this time, they didn't come alone. The Bible tells us this in verse number 1. It says, "Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies found out that I had finished the wall." So they call for Nehemiah, and they're asking him to meet with them. And this is where we're going to dive into our story. Watch this. He says, I am engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why should I stop working to meet with you? So here they come again. They try to distract him. Four times they went back to him. But the fifth time, this time, because Nehemiah wouldn't stop the work, they came up with the story. They came up with the story, and what they were trying to do was strong arm him to meet with them. Listen to what it says. So they come, and this is the report. They were basically saying, if you don't meet with us, we're going to hand this letter, which says that there is a rumor in the land that you are going to rebel against the people and that you're going to try to declare that you are king. But here he goes and he recognizes something. Nehemiah doesn't listen to what they're saying. He doesn't listen to their accusations. But what he does is he realizes, the Bible says this, they were just trying to intimidate us, imagining they could discourage us from stopping the work. See, what I want to talk to you about real quick is learning to overcome and identify intimidating spirits within your life. The word intimidate means this, to make timid or will with fear. Intimidation is meant to discourage, restrain, overwhelm. And intimidation's number one goal, listen to this, is to divert your attention from what is true and birth fear within your life. There is a spirit of intimidation that comes to discourage the people of God to do the work. You know that this spirit that I'm talking about is the same spirit that was found in the book of Samuel when the Bible tells us for 40 days and for 40 nights, the Bible says that the soldiers came and there was a big man by the name of Goliath and he was walking back and forth and he was saying, "Who will fight me? Who will fight?" Nobody would fight. You had trained soldiers 40 days, 40 nights. They were gripped with fear and intimidated when God had called them to stand for what was right. See, the spirit of intimidation is the small voice that echoes in our minds. And it loves to tell us things like, "I dare you to try. It's too hard. Don't even try. You're going to fail." The spirit of intimidation will come to tell you, "You can't do it. You're going to look dumb. Not you." See, intimidation will remind us of our failures. It will divert us from believing what is true. Intimidation will breed insecurity within our lives. It'll make things look bigger than they really are. And lastly, intimidation will try to paralyze you with fear from moving forward. This is what they were doing to Nehemiah. Nehemiah had done a great work, and one last time they came. And they wanted to intimidate him from completing the job. And how many know that sometimes it's not getting started with the job, it's the finishing out of the process that is the hardest part? Look at the person next to you and say, "It's not how you start, it's how you finish." See, fear is a huge reason many people will never try to pursue their dreams. The spirit of intimidation is what holds men and women back from pursuing the call of God upon their lives. And this is the problem. When we engage our minds with fear, when we give into our fears, something powerful happens. We cannot move forward with the things that we want to within our lives. Why? Because fear and intimidation has a lot of power. Listen to this. Fear and intimidations, and this is what you have to understand, giving into your fears and phobias is like a full-time job. Have you ever been there? Right? Where you want to do something, but you're afraid to fail. See, the problem with fear is that managing it, it's a full-time job. There's no freedom to pursue life. There's no freedom to go forward with what you want to do. But this is what you have to understand. Studies have been done at universities, and they found that 85% of what you worry about will never actually happen. Heavy, huh? 85% of what you worry about will never actually happen. They have found that 30% of what you worry about or fear are things that happened in your past and cannot be changed. 10% of what you worry about are considered to be, by most people, insignificant issues. And watch this, 12% of what you worry about are issues about our health that will never actually happen. Now, You got to know this, that as God's people, God hasn't called us to live in fear. We're not supposed to walk around intimidated. We're not supposed to walk around with our heads down. Listen, even if I try something for God and I fail, it's okay, because failure doesn't define me, right? It's part of the process. It's part of my learning. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and sound mind. So what do you do? What do you do when you're faced with fear? What do we do when we're faced with intimidation, or where we're feeling insignificant, or we feel like we can't? The first thing you have to do is keep your faith level above your fear level. Isaiah 35:4 says this: say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. As long as your faith level is above your fear level, you're going to be okay. See, we have to learn to find courage to do what God has called us to do. And all courage is, it's the ability to face danger. It's the ability to move forward, to trust in God, even when the outcome doesn't look favorable. How do we keep our faith level above our fear level? Number two, focus on the truth by reading the Bible. How do we build? How do we engage with fear? How do we combat fear? The best thing we can do is read the Bible. Get into our word. Focus on what is true. Hebrews 10:17 says, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the more that I spend time reading the truth, it combats the lies. Right? It combats those voices within my head that try to tell me that I can't. And I say that because we're living in a day and age that I believe, you know, the Bible says that in the last days that he's going to pour out his spirit. Right? The Bible tells us that our children will dream dreams, they'll see visions. And I would dare to say that some of the visions God is going to give some of us are going to be things we cannot comprehend and might even scare us. But when God has called a man to do a great work for God, it's going to require that man and that woman standing on his word, even if everyone else comes against you. Remember, here you have Nehemiah. He's trying to do a great work. And the Bible says that city officials came and ridiculed his work. Listen, you might be ridiculed, you might be mocked, but you stand your ground. You trust God for greatness and watch God do the work within you. So what do we do when we're faced with fear? Number one, you got to keep your faith level above your fear level. Number two, you got to focus on what is true by reading the word of God. We can't give in to myths. We can't give in to philosophies. We got to base our truth around the word of God. And number three, the last thing that we do, there's a number of things, but I just wanted to give you three. You got to stay focused and pray for strength. Sometimes when there's been seasons in my life when I'm gripped with fear, the last thing I do is pray. Heavy, huh? Fear on every side. I feel commotion on every side, and everything in me is like, I just keep going, keep marching. And we're programmed to not give up. We're programmed to press through. But sometimes we do everything else but pray. Are you hearing me? See, the type of bondages that are running around our neighborhoods, the type of bondages, listen to me, that are coming for our children in this generation are real. And we need to be prayerful about the breaking of those strongholds, right? We got to be prayerful about God giving us strength to combat the giants of this city. You know that there are giants within this city? If you did a historical study on Tacoma and Seattle, and we go all the way back to the beginning of how these cities were birthed, we would find that at the beginning stages, there was a lot of pornography. And as a result, whether you know it or not, a lot of people are bound to lust and dealing with lust. There was people, because we were a port city, things were coming in and out, and as a result, people were dabbling in substances, and there is a reason there is a huge drug problem here. Are you hearing me? There is a reason there's a violent cry. Did you know that at one time we were ranked one of the top five cities of a murder capital in the world? Not too long ago on the hilltop. There's a reason there's a murderous spirit. There is a spirit of fear that comes to plague the people and the youth of our society. And we, the church, can't act like it's not happening. You talk to some of the kids, they're either real rebellious because they've been battled with fear and as a result they don't listen to nobody, or you have people that are truly intimidated. They don't know what to do. So what they do, they get lost in their image and they're just looking for people to accept them. And the wrong crowds are accepting our kids. But I declare to you, church, that we need to be prayerful. We need to look for opportunities to tell people about Jesus, and not only tell them about them, we got to pray for them and their families. Listen, the spiritual battle is real. And if we, the church, battle mentally, listen, we're not immune to it. We're listen, the enemy comes to try to plague our minds. I can't tell you how many Christians, they believe in God, yet they're paralyzed in their own mind because of fears and phobias and an intimidating spirit that tells them they can't do it. Are you hearing me? See, I came this morning to declare that we, the church, will not bow down. We will not give up. We will fight, but we're going to fight in the spirit. We're not going to have an attitude, but we're going to learn to get on our face before God, and we are going to pray that strongholds be broken. There are certain strongholds that won't be broken unless we travail in prayer. You know what travailing is? It's a wrestling in prayer. It's a time where you wrestle and you contend, believing that something could come to pass. Listen, I want to reach the city. I want to reach the youth. I want to reach people from all walks of life, but it's not going to come by strategy. It's not going to come by a human philosophy. It is going to come at the expense of sacrificing in prayer, believing God, sticking it out, doing the work, repeating it over and over again, even when we want to give up. See, you can't give up. People are depending on you. You got to keep moving forward. Number three, I say stay focused and pray, because watch this, Nehemiah 6:9. Remember, the Bible says that they came to intimidate him. They came because they wanted to discourage him. And they were hoping, they imagined in their minds that when they came to intimidate the people, they would stop the work. But listen to what he says in Nehemiah 6:9. Being a spiritually in tune leader, this is what he says. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. See, sometimes we got to stop, and I'm guilty of this. I'm one of those I was trained, man, you stand your ground. You don't give up. That's not what we do. The problem is that when we're like in a, if we learned, like I believe this, the church needs to stop being reactive and we need to be proactive. Like we got to stop living under the circumstances and we got to create the circumstance. Right, we got to speak to what we know is and believe God to create it for us. Here you have this man. The Bible says, although they came against him, he asked God for strength. Nehemiah was a focused leader. Instead of getting discouraged, instead of allowing intimidation to fuel him, to press him in a corner, the Bible says he built great determination. You know what that word strength means in the Hebrew? It's a word called kazak. You know what that word means? It's to strengthen, prevail, harden, become strong, courageous, to grow firm, be resolute, to be sore, and to be stubborn. I know how to do that one. Come on, somebody. Where are my stubborn folk in the house? See, I love stubborn people. Because if you can get a stubborn person saved, they won't bow down to the enemy. But in other words, what he was asking for, he was asking God for the divine strength to carry out the task. See, at the end of the day, God is calling you to do something. You were created with wonder. You were created with something specific in mind. Listen, you were called to bring him glory. I'm not called to something. I am called to someone. My life has been created to bring him glory. And in order to do that, I'm going to need divine strength, because sometimes the task is too big. What am I trying to get to today? If you ever find yourself frustrated doing the work of God, let me just throw this out there. Chances are you're frustrated because you're doing it out of the strength of your own hand. Church becomes like a problem. Like, now I got to go to church. So I got to go to church. Oh, I got to go to church. No, I go to church because I want to go to church. I'm not going to church because anybody makes me go to church. I'm going to church because I want to be around the community of people. I want to attempt to build a culture where people can come and experience freedom. But in order to gain and walk in freedom, we got to declare freedom. We got to fight for our freedom. We got to pray for a culture and a spirit of freedom. I don't want to come into a church that's all down and always struggling and always. No, we got to fight against our enemy. I will not allow you to take my joy. I will not allow you to bring this spirit within my house. I'm going to create an atmosphere where God will be glorified in the good. Say it with me, and in the bad. The truth is, church, if you're trying to work or walk this walk with the Lord, you're going to experience opposition. The key is we got to keep our faith level above our fear level. Number two, we got to stay focused on truth by reading the truth. And thirdly, we got to stay focused and pray for strength. Again, I want to read it to you in the New Living Translation. Nehemiah said this: they were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. So I continued the work with even greater determination. Listen, God is calling you to greatness. He's called us to be successful. In this season, I want to challenge you, as we all stand this morning, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to dream.